All right, 13 minutes to the closing bell. Let's bring in Stephen Whiting. He is Citi Global Wealth Chief Investment Strategist. Thank you for joining us. And for a lot of investors, when there are so many different things impacting markets that add to volatility, which would you advise an investor to pay most attention to in making decisions about the long term?
Well, one has to be careful about focusing on issues over the short term, over volatility, and really getting swayed from making proper long-term decisions when we face these issues. You know, generally speaking, for example, a market that's fallen 20% is going to generate higher returns than a market that's rallied 20%. And this conundrum is always with us. We always feel better about markets that have performed well, the assets that have performed best in our portfolio feel wonderful. But there are really areas where you have to really reestimate, again, what the future returns will look like. And similarly, we see the underperforming markets around the world. Everyone wants to avoid them. And there are times when that's correct. We really need some judgment, right, to say that the returns can now be higher when expectations are low. So that's the way we think that volatility really harms investor decision making. I'd focus mostly on that.
Stephen, given the developments out of Afghanistan today, I guess the clients that you are hearing from who are concerned about some of the geopolitical risks out there, what are you telling them now?
Well, look, I would say first off that these issues that concern us on security, that concern us on human rights, these issues are very troubling for everyone who has to watch these circumstances. I bear in mind when you look at financial markets, and maybe today is a day that's down for other reasons, but it's rare that they really generate a turning point in the world economy. When we take a look all the way back to World War II, there have been, you know, 2 out of 20 cases where major geopolitical shocks really were the starting point for a turning point in the world economy. And that's what financial markets will discount. Sometimes these very troubling issues are simply not directly economic issues of great consequences, which therefore influence markets. So I'd be a little bit careful. Obviously, they mean a great deal to people, but they aren't always financial market issues.
Can we extrapolate the experience of the airlines? And I don't want to pick airline stocks, but we've watched them. Okay. We saw travel and leisure demand recover to levels greater than 2019. They've slowed a bit, but people, despite the Delta variant and COVID-19 cases, still seem to be traveling. Are there implications for other sectors, other stocks, based on that behavior?
It's a great question that we don't have the complete answer on. I would say that the rise of Delta variant, the fact that vaccinations have proven to not be a panacea for any economy, first India, which didn't have a vaccinated economy, where Delta came very, very fast and left, the UK and Israel, where there's a high level of vaccinations, and it has not been enough with this greater infection rate to stop a very significant effect, and now the US is facing it. But in the face of that, there has been less economic fallout than one would expect for the sharp rise that we've seen in infection rates. We've seen a 14% drop in consumer sentiment in the month of August, but by and large, there's just limited effects on mobility. Retail stores are full. And like you said, travel and leisure, airline flights at this time of the year start to have a seasonal component. They start to go down a little bit, and maybe that'll show up in the data. But during the last few weeks of terrible news on COVID, it slowed very little. It does look like the public is going out and is facing this COVID risk. Hopefully they're taking some precautions and vaccinations. But the impact is not the same as when this was the first shock, when this was a complete unknown for the public. It had a dramatically large negative effect. And there were consequences that were really unnecessary. Shutting down every industry, worrying about demand. We're not going to do that again because of Delta COVID.
Stephen, investors are going to be paying attention to the developments from the Fed's Jackson Hole conference over the next 24 hours. What do you expect, or what do you think we're going to hear from Fed Chair Jay Powell tomorrow?
Well, I would expect Jay Powell to focus in on the long run path away from emergency stimulus. We know that his speech is focused in on an uneven economy. We have one macroeconomic policy, one monetary policy. and everybody wants different things from it in every industry, and we can't easily do that. But he will also, I think, as I just said, with a very sharp drop in consumer sentiment, with the potential for some impact. We want to remember that we've had extremely strong employment gains in the year to date, 615,000 jobs per month. Almost half of those jobs were gained in the leisure and hospitality sector. There are some vulnerabilities because the pandemic has yet to end. So the degree to which Powell is willing to recognize that as something that will sway monetary policy, markets could focus very much on that. So it really depends a lot on the market reaction. I think Powell will have to focus on both of these things, unless the speech is purely academic. And if he focuses on both of the things, markets will hear what they want to hear. They will make a judgment as to whether some delay, and for example, just beginning the process of easing more slowly. That's what tapering is, right? Buy bonds, create new money to buy it, but do it a little slower each month. And whether we can sway the Fed on that right now can have some effect on whether markets sort of believe the Fed is ahead or behind the curve.
I don't know if you're allowed to share personally what you think. Do you think they're ahead of the curve or do you think they're behind it?
So look, markets are showing a great deal of confidence in the Fed. And that, again, you know, raises the risk that we go the other way. If you take a look at inflation trades per se, right, the nominal treasury yield is starting to climb, but it fell a lot. Inflation expectations embedded in markets have been very low, perhaps a bit too low. Commodities have come under some downward pressure. We believe that the larger part of the very big rise that we've seen in inflation is distortions to the economy. It's we're doing goods, we're not doing services. Well, prices are sticky on the downside for services. Now they're coming back. The goods sector can't possibly keep up with demand in this environment. But a year from now, we'll see used car prices somewhat lower, these sorts of things. That's the larger part of it. But I think, again, even if the Federal Reserve is starting to move in the direction, the very, very beginnings of trying to normalize monetary policy, it's still going to be easy for a long period of time. And the coming decade's inflation rate will be higher than the decade before.
And we're going to be watching Steve Whiting, Citi Global Wealth Chief Investment Strategist. Thank you for joining us here on Yahoo Finance Live.